You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Yes, yes. Am I on? Yes, yes, I hear it now. It is always a pleasure to be able to speak in chapel to hopefully encourage and challenge us all. So I'd like to thank Dr. Hoken for the gracious invitation. I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer and get right into today's message. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this awesome opportunity to bring forth your word. Cover me with your blood, that I would decrease, that you would increase, and that your spirit would lead us to all truth, that we would gain understanding and application of your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles in any form, please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. As I look out into the crowd and see all the empty seats, that makes me know that today's message is very appropriate. So it's actually a good thing. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Now, to give some context, we're going to hear about the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about Paul, one of his primary ministries was traveling around, being used by God to establish the church. And what was cool was he wasn't the type of minister that just simply was content with establishing a particular body, but he also often took it upon himself to make sure that that body was growing and being nurtured in the faith. And this happened at a time when they didn't have cell phones or social media. You couldn't just text and send out an email. You either had to write a letter, which would take a while to get there, or to travel a long time to get to this particular place. And Paul was not content with simply writing a letter, but he wrote a lot of letters to a lot of churches. On this particular occasion, he shows up in person, which shows that he values the fact that sometimes you gotta be there present. And this is someone who had a lot of churches under his responsibility. So think about someone who's super busy, but super gifted in what they're doing, being pulled all over the place, but found the time based upon God's calling to be in that particular place, present and engaged, knowing that he had the type of instruction that that particular church needed. And he knew that the instruction wasn't going to go over as effectively via letter writing. So he's in person ready to instruct this particular body of Christ. And it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples, as well as Paul, came together to break bread, which was part of their tradition. They came together and engaged in what we would call the Lord's Supper. So they're breaking bread together. And it says, Paul was ready to depart the next day. I think about myself when I'm traveling somewhere, especially, once again, they're not going to jump on a plane. We're talking about they're going to get on a boat and be on this boat for a while. So you got to pack right, you got to eat right, you got to make sure you're getting rested. So before I would be traveling, I would be taking some time to just rest, get my mind ready. But we read Paul is about to leave the next day, and yet we don't see that he's relaxing, we don't see that he's taking in the sights. We're going to read that he's going to spend this whole night instructing the church on what they should be doing. He's about to go somewhere else and do the same thing. He could be saying, you know what? I've been here with you for a while. I've been instructing you. I'm tired. I got a long journey ahead of me, but God's called me to this place. So while I'm in this place, I'm going to be all up in this place doing what I'm supposed to do. So it says he was ready to depart the next day, and he spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. I'm going to be done way before then, because I know our attention span isn't that great, including myself. I'm not sure how long he normally speaks, but the fact that he knows that he's going to be leaving the next day, he says, I got some stuff in me that I need to impart into you all. I've been gifted to in the art of instructing the church, and you need this instruction. So even if it takes all night, as tired as I'm going to be, because I got to get up on this boat the next day, but you are worth it, and I know that this instruction is going to be of value to you. And it begins to describe the evening. It says, there were many lamps in the upper room where they had gathered together. You know, so we got this nice chapel with all these lights. But imagine back then, so they're in this upper room, and we're going to read that they were on the third floor. And they don't have electricity, so they have lamps all over the place. And these lamps were needed from a practical standpoint to be able to see what was going on. But if we study this out, the lamps were also needed because at this particular time, the church is in an interesting place where there are some people who are excited at the fact that the church is growing. Some people are excited that there's these Christians doing what they're doing, but there's a lot of people who are very skeptical of the church. A lot of people at this time is very skeptical about these individuals who are following Christ. And they're skeptical of Paul, and they're wondering, what is this cult? Why are they always meeting together? What are they doing there? Why are people going into each other's homes? What's going on there? So in a lot of ways, having all these lamps are symbolic of saying that we're not doing anything in the dark. We're not doing anything that's suspicious. We're not hiding ourselves. We're being fully transparent about what we're doing. But what it also means is that anyone who shows up at these meetings has a cost to pay. It's not like the religious freedom we have where we can just come and go and worship God and be at a Christian college. They had a little bit more cost to pay back then. Various forms of persecution. So if you were going to show up and come to a place and hear the Apostle Paul speak, you had better count the cost of what that's going to cost you. So anyone who shows up at this meeting is normally someone who says, if I'm going to be there, I'm going to be fully engaged because this is Apostle Paul and he's leaving tomorrow. So when I show up, I'm going to be super focused. And yet we read in verse 9, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. The Apostle Paul, y'all, I'm not sure who would be the equivalent of today, but here you have the Apostle Paul in your place, in the place, and he's leaving the next day. He could be at home packing. He could be at home resting. Yet he says, I know that I have something that you need to hear. And you have some people who have count the cost to be there to hear what he has to say. Yet you have this young man named Eutychus who is sitting in the window, sinking into sleep. He's probably sitting in the window. Just imagine you're in this home. The window probably isn't to the apostle's back, so he's not sitting back there. He's either on the side or on the side or in the back. It doesn't say which one he was in, but he's clearly on the outskirts, on the peripheral. Strategically placed in the window because no air conditioning back then, so it's probably hot and uncomfortable. So it makes sense to sit in a place that's more comfortable, to get relaxed. But there's a difference between being relaxed and just being laxed. He gets so comfortable that he's in the window, and don't think of windows like we think of windows. This is just a carved out space. And he's going to sit in his car. Have you ever seen somebody fall asleep in a chair? And they kind of rock back in the chair because it's a little bit more comfortable. And each time, imagine sitting in an open window and starting to fall asleep. Can you say danger, accident waiting to happen? Yet, here you have Apostle Paul, who's taking time out of his busy schedule to instruct them. Here you have the majority of people focused on the instruction, yet this young man named Eutychus, sitting in the window, falls into a deep sleep. And we read that he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. So he fell out of a third story window and died. Let me give you a quick recap. Apostle Paul, the preeminent and preeminent speaker at that time, was in this city, needed to journey to another city, but says, what I have to say is so important that I'm going to take this time to speak to you all, and I encourage you all to be engaged. The church at this time is under a lot of pressure, a lot of persecution, so it cost them to be in this place. Most of them count the cost, was super engaged, was receiving the instruction, yet one young man strategically says, you know what, I'm not going to be in the midst of this stuff. I'm just going to be out in the back, off to the side. I'm going to hang out in this window. And slowly but surely, sleep overtook him, and he fell dead. Let me allow it to hit home a little bit more. And I'm not saying any of the professors here are Apostle Paul. But we have a lot of Paul-like individuals here in terms of having our heart to instruct and having the giftedness, the knowledge to do it well. In each class period, they're trying to be as engaged as we can be, knowing we have a short period of time to pour into you all that we have to pour into you. Because there's another set of students that we also need to be able to minister to. But instead of thinking about the other set of students that are coming afterwards, we try our best to stay fully engaged, saying, although we got some other stuff we need to be doing, right now it's all about you all. And you have the majority of students who I think have counted the cost. Bethel has this thing called tuition. I know it exists because I hear a lot of y'all talking about it. So to be here cost you something. Can I get an amen? To be here cost you something. So I would think that the majority of you knowing to be here cost you something, and knowing that every opportunity you come into the classroom, you have the opportunity to hear from someone who's gifted in instruction, that you be fully engaged. And I believe most of you are. But we also have some Eutychuses. Raise your hand if you know a Eutychus. And the rule is, if you don't know Eutychus, you probably are Eutychus. We all know some people that, although there's some great instruction going on, although time is short, and although there's a cost to be here, there are some who will still show up and say, you know what, I'm just going to situate myself in the back of the class. I'm going to get real comfortable. And figuratively speaking, but sometimes literally speaking, fall asleep. In the midst of this instruction, fall asleep. The danger is when you are especially at a place like Bethel, where we're not just instructing you on our disciplines, but we're also instructing you in the Word of God. When we fall asleep in the midst of that, we're on our way to spiritually dying. Academically dying. Socially dying. And falling. And here's the thing. I submit to you that Eutychus was dead before he hit the ground. Not necessarily physically dead, but the fact that Paul was there preaching and speaking life, and he missed out on all that. Him dying on the ground was just a manifestation of what was going on the whole time anyway. By the time someone drops out, by the time someone gets kicked out, by the time one of you are on probation, that's just a manifestation of what was going on before. Paul, being someone whose time was precious, could have kept preaching. Could have said, you know what? Oh, too bad for Eutychus. Where was I? But instead, we read, Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, do not trouble yourselves, for there is life in him. And what he's not saying is, oh, he's all right. No, Eutychus was dead. But because of Paul's interceding, he was brought back to life. So I've challenged the students, be engaged, but also for us as professors. We can't be so focused on just teaching. As important as that is, we can't just be so focused on having an impact in the classroom, as important as that is, that we say, well, I'm in my groove. I'm doing my thing. If someone falls away, poor them. If someone doesn't want to come to my class, oh, that's too bad on them. If someone's going to come to class and get poor grades, that's too bad on them. Now, we don't know if Paul would have continued to do this if Eutychus would have fell out the window several times. We don't know. We just know for this time, though, Paul made up in his mind that although my time is short, although I'm giving some good instruction, and although most people are listening to what I'm saying, there is one who has fallen asleep. And there's one who is now dead. Let me call a timeout and go tend to that particular one. We were just singing that song that God doesn't leave any behind. Paul didn't allow Eutychus to be left behind. Professors, who's a Eutychus that we have in class this semester? I'm not sure what the plural is, Eutychi, because that can I make up a word? What about the Eutychi? Because I got several. Are we willing to say, although the majority are engaged and they're doing well, let me, although my time is precious, especially outside of class, are we willing to say, I'm going to put in a little bit more time to go and seek out the one who is dying? The one who isn't doing as well. I'm almost finished. He embraced Eutychus. Didn't criticize Eutychus. Didn't kick him while he was down. Didn't say you got what you deserve, Eutychus. Embraced him. And new life came into Eutychus. And it says, now when he had come up, this is Paul, went back upstairs, he broke bread, which is what was part of the plan. He ate the bread. They had that Lord's Supper. And it says, and he talked a long while, even until daybreak. He could have been like, man, somebody fell out the window, died, they're back. Let's just call a wrap, y'all. I think that's enough for today. No, it says they broke bread, and then he continued to speak again because he had some instruction he knew he had to still impart before he left. When we go tend to the Utica of our college, that can be a fatiguing endeavor. And we could say, well, I was planning on doing my instruction. This thing over here was unplanned, but since I did this unplanned thing, that just messes up the rest of the plan. No, Paul still had a job to do. Faculty, we still got a job to do. On top of our normal instruction, we may have to go give some extra care and then go back to the ones who were there and continue the instruction. Knowing that our time is drawing nigh, we still got to have that capacity. Spoke until daybreak, and then they brought the young man back into the fold alive. And everyone was comforted. Everyone found comfort in that. Didn't leave Eutychus out there to fend for himself. Now, Paul didn't bring him back in. Paul went back upstairs. Paul did what he had to do for Eutychus, but then went back to instruct others. And we read that someone else brought Eutychus back in alive. Others who were there. I had you raise your hand if you knew a Eutychus. A lot of you raised your hand if you knew a Eutychus. But the question is, what do you do with the Eutychus? Do you allow those that you know to be like that, to continue to be like that, or do you help bring them back in? I'm talking to you and your peers. I got several students, so I know they always, you see one, you see the other. And one will come to class and one won't come to class. I'd be like, did you text your brother? Why would I do that for? Well, y'all together all the time, right? Yeah, is he here now? Nope, text him then. Professor Theo said, where you at? Now into the semester, that same couple, same two dudes who hang out, I see one, he'd be like, I'm texting. I'm like, yeah, okay. If you don't want to be Eutychus, and you don't want to be surrounded by Eutychus, we all have a role to play in that. And the final thing I want to challenge us on is we adults in the room, we can be Eutychus also. It's not just on the students who sometimes fall asleep. Sometimes we can grow weary. Sometimes we can slack off in what we're called to do. Anyone has the potential to be a Eutychus, to be somewhere where there's a high cost to be there, to be somewhere to where, although there's a high cost to be there, that we may be tempted to take it for granted. One small bit of information, Eutychus, his name in the Greek translated means fortunate. Fortunate. And we can kind of put two and two together how fortunate he was. All of us who are here at Bethel, whether we know it or not, are very fortunate to be here at Bethel. Now, there's some days where we be like, man, I'd rather be unfortunate. But we're very fortunate to be here. Whether we're here working, whether we're here studying, we're all here serving, we're learning, we're fortunate to be here. Let us not be like Eutychus. Let us not be in this place where God is instructing us, where we're instructing one another, and there's a high cost to be here, And there's people who are here who could be other places, yet they're saying, while I'm here, I'm going to be fully engaged. If we're surrounded by people like that, let us also be here fully engaged. Let us not say, you know what, I'm just going to sit in the window. I'm going to be on the outskirts, on the fringes, on the peripheral. I'm just going to lay back. Because that's the first step, to falling asleep. Falling asleep. And we see where that ends up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bless each and every one of us to be here. There are so many Paul types among us, Lord, who have been gifted to instruct us in their respective disciplines, but more importantly, to instruct us in the things of God. We all pay a cost and a price to be here, Lord. And yet some of us, and maybe all of us at one point in time in our lives have taken that for granted. And we've said that on this day, I'm not going to sit in the center. I'm not going to sit in the front, but I'm just going to lay in the back. Chill in the window. And sleep has a way of overcoming us, Lord. I pray if there's any among us who are inside, emotionally, academically, and especially spiritually dying, Lord, that those around us who are able to speak life and bring about life are attentive enough and engaged enough to see those dying and willing to leave where they're at to go pursue those. And also prayed that we would be surrounded by peers who would help bring us back into the fold. But of all things, Lord, I pray that your spirit would continue to reign and persist with us, Lord. That we would not take you for granted. That you would not see us as a Eutychus, Lord. And we would recognize just how fortunate we are. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And we have some time. This was pretty, I got through pretty quickly. So there's some time now. So if there's anyone here who would like specific prayers, maybe you say, you know what? I got some Eutychus type tendencies. You know, I've been here at this place and I do find myself kind of just wanting to sit in the background a little bit too much. Or I'm in class and I'm not as engaged in class as I need to be. Or I'm not as engaged in chapel as I need to be. And I find myself spiritually, figuratively, and sometimes literally falling asleep. If you know that that's one of you, or maybe you're one of my colleagues, and you say, you know what? Hey, I want to be like Paul, but when I'm in a rush and I got to go, I got to go. And if Eutychus falls out the window, that's on Eutychus. Grounds and maintenance, they can scrape Eutychus up. Whatever it may be. If you fall in any of those categories and you just want some prayer, I don't have class after this, so I would love to be to pray for you. But if not, just go in peace. Or did you have some?
They can go in peace.
Yes, go in peace. You need prayer, please.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.